Okay, we're going to start the Aflamic Gimel of it off, a new parak. Beged should svol beklipe arlo. Sorry, Morty. Next time you'll have to be faster on the draw. If you haven't, arlo is of course also bahana. If someone goes ahead and dyes a garment with dye that was produced from arlo, so what do you do with the beged? You don't like. You have to burn it. You can't wear such a beged. It's pretty.
You
can't have an oath from the fire, right?
It's not like.
Truma Tamea, correct. Now, this is a very interesting rule. Hey, when I read this rule, I thought it was very, very instructive. Taught me many halachas over here. Kama halachas yeshpo. Because when it came to Yisrei Achila, remember? We said that if you had two gairims, Zev is a gairim, right? We said that it was mutter. If you had one gairim which was mutter, one gairim which was asr, Zev is a gairim, together, it's mutter. That's the way we paskin. Now, over here, if you think about it, when I get hanar from a beged, I'm getting hanar from the wool of the beged, and the color of the beged, you know, it's raised, I don't know what kind of hanar that is. It looks nice, I guess. It looks like the color I want it to look. It's a klein shekahana as far as begotten are concerned, right? Like, what hana is that? The color, but whatever that hana is, it's interesting. This contrast, the isra achilo, was ever the garment was mutter, and over here with it were a hana purta. If that hana is an Isra Hanah, no can do. You got to burn the beged. You ever think about that? Hello, Dover, who? Anyway, that was my thought for the day. And beyond this, it goes downhill. Nisar b'acher. Now, if this garment gets mixed up with other garments, so you bring home your Arla garment from the cleaners that you just dyed with Arla, and you hang it up in your closet with all your other garments, and now you don't know which one was the garment. Cool on Yiluku. You have to burn your whole front closet. Give your mayor. That's your mayor shita. And the chacham say no. Yalu b'me'echad masayim. So if you have 200 jackets in the front hall closet, and you have one which is arla, it's bottle, right? So our mayor apparently doesn't hold that it's bottle under any condition. How? What's the matter? What's the matter with the mayor? What is the reason? So the Mara Folda, I think, says, see where he says, Kulon Yidluku, Reb Meir L'Tamei, on the Hebrew side tonight, because it's Hoshana Rabba, will learn a little higher level Hebrew. So the Mara Folda writes, come on, Es Shadak Ilamana, Es Mekanish, Ubega Dak Ilamana, Es Hu. So you normally, it's a Dorosh of a Minyan. You're going to count, you know, when you go to the counter, you know, when you go to Macy's to buy a couple of shirts, you're going to buy five shirts or four shirts. You count each beged independently when you buy it, and therefore it is not bottle. Okay? Next.
Nowadays, coloring is not from plants, is it?
I have no idea. I mean, I imagine it could be. I don't know how they make dye nowadays. Yeah, well, let's look in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. Beged should svar b'klipei arlo yidalek. So the Gemara is going to ask, how do we know what parts the parts of the plant that make it the dye are shells and peels that enclose the fruit?
And what about the bark?
Bark.
But you can use that also.
You can use bark to make
dye. But the tree is dyed in the arla.
Right. Yes, yeah, not going to be in this arla. That's why. But you can make dye from it.
So you're telling me, basically, what you just said, if I heard you correctly, you're saying that if you make dye from the bark of an arla tree, it's takamuta b'hanah.
Right, that's what he said.
Who says that? Did he say that?
I thought someone.
Okay, well, it could be.
Page not the second paragraph. Where did I see it?
End of two.
Yeah, I had it underlined. Right, the end of two in the bracket.
One is permitted, however, to use dye made of bark of an orla tree.
Why?
Because orla is only
the fruit. Orla is only the fruit, not regarding the tree itself. Okay, great. Put note two on 33A2. Very important note. Very good. Thank you. Okay, next. The Gemara says, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Aratam will also Esperio, which is difficult to translate. So we'll try to see how he says it over here. You shall treat as forbidden its arla, its fruit. So is tani v'somach l'perio. So it's whatever is adjacent to the fruit, that's shells and peels. They too are included in the laws of arla. Footnote 7, what does it say here? See, it's a question here exactly. S appears many times in the pasuk, right? Do they have the pasuk here? I only see it once. I don't know why they say it many times. It says, Ki savoa ho arts, and tatum kol yitzmach, hova ratum ar losu, S perio. I only see one S. I don't know why he's saying it as many times. Oh no, in scripture. Oh, okay, never mind, sorry. He's talking in general in the whole Torah. It says S many times. Okay. Yeah, over here it says the word S, and S always is that which is with the item, right? So they two are included. Is tani ba'oirel esperio. There's another tana. He says it's talking about that which encloses the fruit. So since shells and peels enclose the fruit, they're included in the arla prohibition. So it's a little different.
I mean, you would have thought that it's only the edible part of the fruit.
Well, he's just, I don't have to think about what the Havamina is. He's just giving us the mucker of it. Araltem Esperio, according to the second shot, is nothing to do with S, which would be like with, that's which was with the fruit. But rather, it's the word all itself.
The extra or lotto.
The superfluous phrase, or lasso, is expounded as a reference to that which encloses the fruit, the shells or peels that surround and protect the fruit. This exposition merges from the literal meaning of the word arla, which denotes that which encloses or blocks access to an object. Since the peel encloses the fruit, it's an arla. The peel encloses the fruit. It stops you away like an arla, so it stops you from getting access to the fruit. So therefore, it's arla.
That's why the breast is called arla.
Oh, well, he says that in the brackets. Correct.
Yeah.
Now, he has a little essay about S. And he has an example. It's at the top of the page. He says, if you would say Reuven hika Shimon, Reuven hit Shimon. So you could say Reuven hika Shimon, or you could say Reuven hika es Shimon. Is there any difference between those two statements? So the word es identifies Shimon as the recipient of the action. There's no analog.
What else would it be?
It has a way of directing. It has a way of directing a verb towards the object upon which the verb is executing its action. Okay, whatever. Anyway,
included in this word, arlo, the extra arlo here, is on the external things. Would it include the pits?
That the Gemara is about to say this. Mamash b'chamin to the Gemara. So on the base, that's the Gemara says the following. Gemara says, Mandi Omar, what's the difference? Mandi Omar b'somach l'pirio, if it's what's near that klipin v'garin, mamash, what means the peels and the seeds. Mandi Omar b'oril espirio, that which encloses the fruit. Klipin mamash v'lo garin, but it would not include the seeds. On the contrary, the fruit surrounds the seeds, not the seeds don't surround the fruit. So it would include the seeds according to that. But we know, as is pointed out in footnote 3, an earlier Mishnah says, Klipe Rimon Vahanet Shalo, Klipe Agos Mahagarinim, Osir Ba'orla. We know that Garinim were Osir by Orla. It can't be a dispute here. Some say the reason why it can't be a dispute is because these two Shitas may be Amoroyim, not at the Tana level, so therefore they couldn't argue on the Tana. Okay? Whatever the reason is, we know that Garinim are Osir Ba'orla, so therefore how are they going to learn it? So the Gemara asks the question. Garinim Minayin, how do we know? So have a Soifach Meimar in the end, even the second Mandiomer is going to also have to end up learning from the S. He has no choice. Right? S period, so period. He's got to get the seeds somehow. That's got to be his drasha. So it ends up, he doesn't need his original drasha. If you have S, you may as well take it all. Go all the way, right? The exposition of that which encloses the fruit is not needed. That's three, right?
But it says specifically, Vahagarinim Asur Barla.
Exactly.
So
the question is, how do you know
that the seeds are Asur? He's going to have to learn it from S. Therefore, he doesn't need. He's not gaining anything by quoting this other drasha about Orlosso. That's what three talks about it. The exposition of that which encloses the fruit provides no source to include seeds, so even the author of that exposition must accept the exposition of the S. So, that's it. Anyway. Next. Okay, let's go on. This is trivial stuff. Istvoy Nishmina Mardot. Some people want to learn from here. That is to say, the Isser of seeds. Araltem Orloso S. Perio. Dover Shuhu Orel S. Perio. U Perio Orlo. So what he does is he has it both ways. That which encloses the fruit, and that which the fruit encloses as well. So he's kind of helping survive that Orla type drasha. All right, whatever. These are different drashas. Next, Rav Abba. Now we'll start a sugya, which is the sugya is a parallel sugya in Pesachim, Mavus the sugya, and that's the sugya of. When Torah says Isser Lo Yisaychel Lo Yisaychel Lo Yayochel Lo Yayochel is Echad Isser Achila Echad Isser Hanova Mashma, that's the Gemara I was going to talk about now. Okay, and we're going to go through all kinds of proofs from different psukim, and those of you who remember psukim the second parak will find this very repetitious. Rabbi Avu B'Shem Rabbi Lazar Kol Magav Shem Lo Yisaychel Lo Yisaychel Lo Yayochel, whenever you have these lashonos in the Torah, Atayfas Isra Hanoya be Isra Achila. That's just like there's an Isra Achila, there's also an Isra of Hanoya as well. Achiyava Akasim Yishvar Shulcha. Until there's a pasuk that tells you explicitly that the Hanoya is Mutter. Kishem Shapir Shulcha Bebosar Minachai Ubenevela. By Avram Minachai and by Nevela, it says explicitly that those Isurim are Mutter by Hanoya. So that's how you know that the achila there does not mean hanah. But if you don't have that special explicit heter for hanah, then it's going to be also b'hanah as well. Ma pirush l'chol b'basim l'chai. Where is the pasuk? B'basim sar treifa lo yisaychlo, lo sochelo. Sar treifa means, of course, sar treifa means it's gone out of its area. What? Vasar basara trefa lo sochelu. You have it?
Okay.
Ma pirush l'chol b'basar min hachai. That's what we have in our brackets.
Oh,
okay. Be'ever we have in parentheses.
Okay.
You're following along in the Hebrew?
Yeah.
Well, that's why. Yeah, you have change in the gears. All right. Doesn't make a difference. Ubasa basada trefa loisa chelu v'lakel tashlichen also. Do you have lakel tashlichen also?
That's
some brackets. Okay. So it says sada trefa. Sada trefa, of course, is the trefa is its outside of How do we learn from basa basada trefa? How does it work again?
It says trefa.
How does Avram and Achai come from the words Basar Basada Trefa? Translation to actuality. What's the transition from the word treifa? Treifa melachayim. It's torn away. It's matura from the animal. Very good. So, and that's called flesh in the field, which is treifa. You shall not eat. To the dog you shall throw it. So you see explicitly, you're allowed to feed it to your dog. Dov, is that called the hana?
Yes.
Yeah.
Charlie's happy.
That's it. So feeding the dog is considered a hana. So it's explicit. Umah pirsh ben avela. What's the pasuk by avela? Leisakul kol avela. Yarshat shushrak to dinav akola. Oim achol anachri. It says again that you give the ger toishav as a matana and you sell it to the nachri. Right. That's interesting.
That's the order
in which you have to do it that way because you can't give it to the nachri because it would be leisakhanim. Right. Anyway. So again, it says you're not allowed to eat the treifa, but you're allowed to give it away or sell it. So you see, it's mutar b'hanah, even though it's asur b'achila. So the Gemara is basically saying, everywhere else besides these two psukim, right? Not besides these two psukim. Everywhere else where there is an isur achila in the Torah, it includes hanah ad shi'iflucha hakasav b'feirish the hanah like it does in these two psukim. So, just to make sure we understand, so we can't use these two psukim as a binyan av for the whole Torah, that just like over here you see Yisra Achila only includes Achila and not Hanoah, so to call it Torah Kula, because it's Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echon Eim Alandin. These are two psukim, and you can't use that as a binyan av. That's what it says in the footnote. Footnote number 9 speaks that out. Okay? Next. Okay, now Rabavu, remember this. So we have the first shita here was Rabavu. He says everywhere. It says, he gave three examples, right? What were the three examples? Chomakushim of Loisoichel. Loisoichel, Lo Yeachel, is it?
Yeah.
Or is it Lo Yeachelu? How did he good on that? He said, "Lo seichal, lo seichlu, lo yochlu." Okay. Now Chizkia says, "Upolig." He argues on Rav Avu. "V'chimi asaro la kalev." Right. Whoever prohibited this flesh for feeding to the dog, then it must now state that this is permitted. In other words, why do I have to have a pasuk to tell me that I can give it to the dog? Pasuk never said it was also to Bahanah. It only said it's also to eat. He's questioning the whole premise, right? How can you make an assumption that when it says consumption is also, that it also includes benefit? Doesn't make sense. The Brisa concludes that the phrase to the dog you shall throw is needed for another teaching. What's the other teaching? That what? In footnote 11 it says that a chulin slaughtered in the Azara, so it's chulin shenichasul ba'azara, and you slaughtered it in the Azara, that is forbidden for benefit and may not be thrown to the dogs. In other words, when it says it, what's the pasuk? Also, the pshat is what? Also, the meaning that only that meat can be sent to the dog, as opposed to chulin shenishkatu ba'azara, cannot be given to the dog. Right? That's how he's learning it. From the Bryce's question, we see that a prohibition to eat does not necessarily include a prohibition to derive benefit. As opposition to Rabavu, clearly Chizkiya does not accept his view. That's what it says up here at the top. Okay, so that's how we're learning. This is actually quite cryptic. The way that Yerushalmi's wording here is extremely brief. So we have basically about 7 words, right? Tani Chizkiya Upolig. Chizkiya has a braisa, I guess, that clearly shows he argues in Rabavu. V'chi mi asaro la kelev. That's it. And from that, we're making a whole binyan out of it. Who asked it to the dog to begin with? That we need a pasuk. We don't need a pasuk to answer it to the dog. Elamai, we have a different drasha. Tells me Chol Shnei Shvatim Zara is not more divine, only it. And so you see from this whole thing that he argues in Ravu, because the Isra Achila is not an Isra Hanal. Very interesting. So again, so Chizkiya argues in Ravu. Vohag Siv, now we're going to ask questions on Ravu's position. Vohag Siv, Kol Chelev, Shor, Vekasev, the A's, Lo say chelu. So what's that talking about? What's the inyan of pasuk again? It's certain about certain fats, right? Kol chelu. So certain fats are usur or certain animals, right? Even though the animal itself was kosher, these fats are called chelu. And based on the altar, okay. So the fats from all other fat from kosher animals called shuman, and may be eaten. Okay, that's not a stump part. It's a side fact, right? Chelev is what's usher, shuman is what's mutter. All right. So chelev, kol chelev, shor v'chesed v'ez lo sochelu, me'ato ato tofes iser hanoya v'iser achi, iser achila. Are you going to tell me that there's an iser hanoya from eating chelev? There's no such thing as an iser hanoya from chelev. How do we know that?
I think it's mutter to eat is usher
b'hanah.
Can't happen.
No. Here it's mutter
b'hanah.
I understand
that.
So
that's the question. We're asking, according to Rabu, every time it says l'sahel, means it's r'hanah as well. That's mutter. There's no Feirish Pasuk telling me that it's mutter. So then why is the chelav not usher b'hanah? How do we know that it's mutter b'hanah? How do we know chelav is mutter b'hanah? So in the footnote 14 it says, the heter to benefit from chelav is known from the Tana Reb Nechunya ben Hakona. He holds if you steal chelav, and when it comes to repaying him because of a heshev like Zalash Shon Gazal, basically that's what he says. He says that if I steal chelav from you, I have to pay you back for what I stole. So if the fact that I have to pay back an Isra Hanoah, it has no Shavius. If so must be, it must be Mutzav Hanoah, right?
Yeah.
If it were true that chelav is forbidden for benefit, there would be no such obligation. An object forbidden for benefit is without value, and the theft is a valueless object and not trigger an obligation to return it. He kind of liked this thing, a little different kind of knaich. I mean, you could learn it two ways. You could learn it either pshat is lomdish, that it's not shayach bailus on such a thing, so it's not shayach to have a geneva, or you could simply say that it has, what am I paying back? 10 times 0 is zero. You know, like, and no matter what I pay you back, my biggest chiyuv is going to be the value. But if you can't have a hatnor from it, then it has no value. So what are you telling me I have to pay back? So there's two ways to look at this. Reason why I wouldn't be chayav is because it has no bialas or because it has no value. Either way, it's two different things. Okay. Yeah, that's the question. So the Gemara deflects the challenge. Shanyahi, the answer is, b'ksev, v'chelev, nevelev, v'chelev, trefa, ye also chomolocha, v'achol v'yisach lehu. There's taka pasuk. That the pasuk says that the chelav will be used for any malacha. Okay, so the right there you have a perish pasuk. So the pasuk explicitly permitted the benefit of chelav. Fine, we got out of that one. This is one of those cases where I make an outrageous statement, and you start throwing questions at me, and I start answering, oh, that's different, that's different, that's different, that's different. What? Yeah. You know, there's a famous Gemara that says that, you know, like a person's a shaita, there's three simanim. Either you give him something, valuable, and he throws it away. He's lonva based haktvaris, right? What's the other thing?
He rips his begonim,
no? We said, and the Gemara says, no, if he has all three. If he does one, so, you know, if he rips his baguette, maybe, you know, he was angry or or if he's lying in the basic forest, maybe he was depressed or he wanted to hear what they were saying about the crops next year, you know, or his wife kicked him out of the house, or, you know, whatever, the Gemara says. So, but if he has all three, so Reb Chaim Shlomitz famously said, what do you mean if you have all three? Why don't you say you have three terutzim? The reason he did this is because of this reason. The reason he did that is because of that reason. The reason he did this is because of that reason. So Reb Chaim famously said, if you have three kashas and they have one teretz, he's a shaita. That's the right answer. If you have to come on to three different terutzim, to the three kashas, and you have one teretz which answers all the kashas, you take the one answer, which I thought is like it's a simple idea, but I think it's brilliant. And this is going to be the case here. Here you're going to have a klal. The Gemara is going to start asking question after question after question. And each question is going to have another individual answer. And the one answer which would answer it all is, it's wrong. It's wrong. The whole thing is wrong. But okay, we're going to go through, you know, as we go through over here. Hogsiv, a second challenge. Rak adam lo sechelu. Finish the pasuk, you can't eat blood. Right? What's the share of eating blood, you know? Is it a Revius or is it a Kazayas? What do you think?
Does it make a difference if it's liquid form or gel?
When is blood?
I mean, I the only reason I'm asking the question is the Pasuk says lo sochelu. Usually, achila is a Kazayas, right?
That's their assumption. You can eat it if it's inside.
That's what you're saying. It's meat inside the meat. Okay. I know the Rambam. Take a look. You'll see. It's very interesting. Are you going to say you can't have hanor from blood? That can't be. Right? How is it possible? Why is that? So on the bottom footnote it says, because as is known, that in the Mizbeach, after they poured the blood on the Mizbeach, it says it went down to Nachal Kedron. And then it went out and it fertilized the fields over there in the valley. So you see the blood is being it's fertilizer, it's mutter to use it. The Gemara, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't feel a necessity to quote how they know stuff is mutter. We have to look at the footnotes to find the mucker, how we know these things are mutter b'hano. But that's the way it says. So the Gemara answers, shine. If you knew it, you're supposed to know it. You're supposed to know. Shanya he. So my answer is: this is the answer. The civil arts. Tishbukhanu kamayim. The pasuk says you pour the blood on the ground like water. So you see the gemara, the pasuk compares dam to mayim, just like mayim is mutabana. So also dam is mutabana. Very simple, right? And with that, we end today's daf.
Okay. So
now.